No.
Oh, it's a big secret. She doesn't know what. Hymn 65, folks. Let's stand for our final hymn tonight, hymn 65, and this song says it all. One of our absolute all-time favorites. And we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth.
Did you say to stand?
Yes, please stand and sing to the Lord about that old rugged cross on which he died. Praise the Lord. 65. Good to see you all tonight. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Lord, I love that old cross with the dearest and best, for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, then exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by this world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For 'twas on the Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to the Calvary. Everybody now. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to your rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. On the fourth, the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I share. So I cherish the old rugged cross. Thank you, Lord. Till my trophies at last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange it someday for a praise his name, beloved. Please be seated, and let's grab our Bibles tonight. We'll get right to our Sunday night study, and of course, we're continuing on in our prophecy studies concerning the millennial kingdom. And you can be opening your Bibles tonight to Isaiah chapter 65. But by way of review, beloved, we're on the Millennial Kingdom, part 15 tonight for the tape, part 15. But we didn't finish last week our study, our look at Millennial Jerusalem. So tonight I'm going to do a brief review on last week's, and then we'll get to part 15 and complete, Lord willing, complete our study of Millennial Jerusalem. Now, for the first time in world history, beloved, Israel will finally possess and settle in all of the promised land that God gave to Abraham and his seed during the millennium. Now, Jerusalem will become the capital of the world, and all nations shall flow in annual pilgrimage to the city of the great king to worship him. Amen? But before we look at the millennial Jerusalem again, first Ezekiel describes and declares that the division of the land to the 12 tribes will be in a very particular order geographically. And the land today that you see in the land of Israel is not what it'll be during the millennium. It's going to be greatly expanded. And all of these Hamas and Hezbollah and the PLO and half of Syria and half of Iraq and half of Egypt, all these things, all the way to the Mediterranean Sea on the east, is going to be to the Euphrates River. It's all going to belong to Israel, because the Bible gives us the literal geographical borders of the land that God gave to Abraham's seed. Okay? It's not what it is today, but it will be greatly enlarged for the 1,000 years. We find that in Ezekiel chapter 47, in Ezekiel chapter 48, the borders of millennial Israel. And then he describes the northern section, the holy oblation, which is in the center where the millennial mount will sit. And of course, the millennial temple will sit atop of the millennial mount of the Lord's house. And that was called the holy oblation. And then south of that, you'll have five more tribes, seven tribes to the north of it. And you'll have the other five tribes to the south of it, encompassing all of the land. Now, having listed the exact borders and divisions of the 12 tribes, Ezekiel turns his attention to millennial Jerusalem itself. Millennial Jerusalem, folks, will sit atop of the millennial mount, okay, which will be the highest peak on planet Earth at that time. He gives us graphic details not found elsewhere in the prophets concerning millennial Jerusalem. All four sides of the city are described along with the gates and their names. The gates of Jerusalem, there'll be three on each side, will be named after the 12 sons of Jacob, the 12 patriarchs. First, notice the measurement, Ezekiel 48, verse 30. Don't turn there, but you could be turning to Isaiah 65, because the measurement's 10 miles wide, 10 miles high, and atop the millennial mount, which will measure approximately, these are approximate numbers, folks, 50 miles square will be the Temple Mount. Today's Temple Mount, they've got the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Dome of the Rock up there, that abomination, that's getting out. That's getting destroyed quick. I'm so glad of that. But the millennial Jerusalem will sit atop the Temple Mount. The southern side and its gates, the eastern side and its gates, the western side and its gates, and the northern side of its gates are all named in Ezekiel 48. And the names are the names of the 12 sons of Jacob. The name of the city will be Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. And the Lord our righteousness, Jeremiah 23 says. It will also be called the Lord will be there. It's millennial Jerusalem. Now, though Ezekiel only gives us the dimensions and the names of the gates, yet untold numbers of other passages give extreme additions and minute details concerning millennial Jerusalem. Last week we saw in Psalm 48 that it's the city of the great king. Amen? It reveals that it will become the residence of God for the entire millennium. It's a theocracy where the King of Kings will be ruling and reigning the world from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. In verse 8 of Psalm 48, he reveals who it is that establishes it. God shall establish her. Amen? You can't prevent what God's going to do. In verse 11 of Psalm 48, we're told that joy emanates from this city because of righteous judgment going forth from the king. Next, the inhabitants are told to study the beautiful architecture of the city, the pillars thereof, and teach it to every generation of the millennium, verses 12 and 13. Secondly, we saw in Psalm 87 that we learned that the city, Jerusalem, will be known as the city of God. We found that in verses 1 through 7. Galatians chapter 4, verse 26 says, "We have been born from Jerusalem, which is above, which is the mother of us all. It says there in Psalm 87 about this man and that man being born in her. Yes, people will be born in the millennial Jerusalem. Physical birth will be taking place. But ours is a spiritual birth. Amen? We're born again by the Spirit of God. And we're born from above, not of this earth. Glory to God. Thirdly, we saw in Psalm 122, the peace that will permeate the millennial Jerusalem because of the reestablishment of the Davidic throne. It's described clearly in verses 1 through 9 of Psalm 122, that peace, world peace, will finally come. Amen? And it's not coming from the New Age movement or Shirley MacLaine or all this nonsense. The King of Peace will bring peace to the earth. Glory to God. Fourthly, the building up of millennial Jerusalem at the time of Israel's regathering is the theme of Psalm 147, verses 1 through 3, shows the healing of Israel. She'll be spiritually regenerated like you and I are. Amen? They'll receive the Holy Spirit at last. Then in verse 12 through 14 of Psalm 147, he reveals that it will be impenetrable by any enemy, and it will abide in perfect peace throughout the 1,000 years. Then, in verse 15 of Psalm 147, we find that kingdom law, not Mosaic, but kingdom law, will emanate from this city, from the king. Amen? Worldwide law will issue forth. No corrupt judges, no corrupt presidents sitting in the White House. I'm glad it's going to be the King of Kings ruling in righteousness for 1,000 years. Fifthly, we saw in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 26 and 7, describing millennial Jerusalem as being characterized by three things: holiness, righteousness, and justice. Amen? Holiness, righteousness, and justice because of the king reigning in the midst of her. Then we saw, sixthly, last week, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 3 through 6, stating that holiness and the Shekinah glory of God will be seen over the millennial Jerusalem. All the world will see it. Well, there won't be no Wolf Blitzer on CNN reporting, I don't know what's going on. But the Shekinah glory of God will be seen from afar off, it says. The whole world will see the glory of God. And it will hover over the city. It will be a fire by night and a smoke by day, as it was when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. Seventhly, we saw in Isaiah 33, verse 20, that perfect security. They won't need me. I'm a security guard at GE. They won't need no security guards. Amen? Because perfect security will be preserved throughout the 1,000 years for millennial Jerusalem. And Messiah himself will dwell there, verse 21 says of Isaiah 33. Then he reveals that Messiah will be the judge, the lawgiver, the king, and the savior of his people, verse 22. Also, we saw that he showed that national forgiveness will be enjoyed by the elect nation Israel. That's verse 23 and 24 of Isaiah chapter 33. Eighthly, last week we saw in Isaiah chapter 52 that perfect liberty and holiness will permeate the entire city. In verse 7, he showed us that Messiah will reign in this city preeminently. He will have the preeminence at last. Verse 8 shows the regathering of the Jews to this holy city for the entire 1,000 years. Verse 9 of Isaiah 52 states that the city itself will be redeemed. The city itself will be redeemed. Jerusalem. Verse 10 shows that all the world will see the salvation of the elect nation Israel during that time period. Ninthly, we saw in Isaiah chapter 60, telling us that the Gentiles will be used in helping to build the city, the millennial Jerusalem. Then in verse 11, the prophet revealed that the 12 gates, named after the 12 patriarchs, as Ezekiel said, will never be shut, day nor night. There's no need to shut the gates when Jesus is present. Amen? We don't need no defense. The Lord is our defense, they'll cry. In verse 12, he revealed that the Gentile nations and their leaders, their kings, will bring tribute to Israel through these gates, and that those who do not will be judged for it. Then in verse 13 and 14 of Isaiah 60, we learned that all nations will bow and submit themselves to the elect nation, Israel, because of her abiding king. Amen? Right now, they're not bound to the Jews. They're trying to kill them. But there's coming a day when they will submit to the Jews. They'll rule the world under their Messiah. Isaiah chapter 62, we saw that the brightness and righteousness will emanate from this city. It's the glory of the Lord. Amen? It will be shining to all the world from Jerusalem. Verse 2 states that all the earth will admire the righteousness of the city. It will be a totally righteous city, folks. Israel's redeemed at this point. They're serving God in righteousness and in truth. Then we saw that millennial Jerusalem will become the most beautiful city on earth. Can you imagine the glory of millennial Jerusalem? What it will look like just to walk the streets. And we're going to get to do that. Then verse 6 and 7, he tells us that angelic messengers will repeatedly remind heaven of God's promise to make Jerusalem the joy and praise of the whole earth. We find that in verse 8 and 9, promising that Israel will enjoy the fruits of their labors. Verses 10 through 12 assures Israel of her redemption and salvation because of God who keeps his promise. 11thly, tonight we pick it up, 11thly. I got a number of them for you. There's so much in the Bible concerning millennial Jerusalem. And as we read these passages, beloved, you will clearly see that it's not talking about the Jerusalem of today. The Jerusalem of today and the Jews of today are abiding in unbelief. They are not regenerated. They have not received their Messiah. And God's not happy with them. But they're still his elect nation. Though individual Jews, if they die without being born again, they go to hell, just like a Gentile. Okay? The elect nation, their election still stands. Okay. 11th, tonight, go to Isaiah chapter 65 as we continue. Isaiah chapter 65. This passage promises joy and rejoicing to the holy city for the 1,000 years. Joy and rejoicing. Now, folks, tonight in Jerusalem, they're at war with Hamas. There's not much joy and rejoicing. In fact, this afternoon, bad news. They've captured, the Hamas has captured an Israeli soldier. And they're going to use him as a pawn. Okay? Very sadly, 13 Jewish soldiers, precious Jew IDF soldiers, were killed yesterday in the skirmish. They ambushed them. So we need to pray for the IDF to defeat and destroy all of Hamas, the terrorists. And for some reason, our White House will not label them the terrorists that they are. In chapter 65 of Isaiah, we see promised joy and rejoicing in the city. Look at verse number 18. Verse 18. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. God speaking. For behold, I create, what's the next word?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. He's talking to the Jews. And he says, I want you to rejoice and be glad because I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people. Somebody tell me, who is her people? Would that be the Chinese?
The Jews.
No, that's the Jews, right? The Jews are the people of Jerusalem. Her people will be a joy. They're going to be a joy to the whole earth. He said, the whole earth, Abraham, will be blessed through thy seed. Glory to God. Verse 19, and I, God says, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying, nor the voice of Hamas, nor the voice of Ahmadinejad, nor the voice of Hezbollah, nor the voice of the PLO, nor the voice of the Muslim Brotherhood. You name it, they're not going to be there. Amen? Because God is going to create joy and rejoicing for the entire 1,000 years in Jerusalem. 12thly, tonight, go to chapter 66 of Isaiah. He guarantees peace and comfort along with holy joy in this city. Peace and comfort. Look in chapter 66 of Isaiah at verse 10. Don't miss this. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem. Now keep in mind, the whole context is millennium. Not the eternal order. We haven't got there yet. Chapter 65 and 66 talk of the millennial Israel. Look at what he says. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her. All ye that mourn for her. Yeah, we mourn for her and pray for her today, but there's a day when we're going to rejoice in the millennium. That ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolation. See, blessings are going out to the whole world through Jerusalem. That ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees, as one whom his mother comforteth. So will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when ye see this, that your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. When's that going to happen? During the millennium, amen? It's going to be clear to the whole world whom he favors. Glory to God. All right, 13th tonight, Jeremiah, flip over a couple pages, you'll be in Jeremiah chapter 3. This passage declares clearly that the reestablishment of the Davidic throne will make Jerusalem the center of worldwide attention. Look in chapter 3 of Jeremiah at verse 17. At that time, now, whatever time period he's talking about, he's going to show us, that's at that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of who?
The Lord.
The Lord. See that? The Lord has come down from heaven, and he has sat upon the Davidic throne, which was promised him way back in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And all the nations shall be gathered unto it. To what? The throne of the Lord at Jerusalem. You see it? That's not happening today, but it's going to. To the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. He is saying in verse 17 clearly that millennial Jerusalem will become the absolute center of worldwide attention. You know what I hate? You turn the news on, even on Fox News they do this, and they're talking about the weather, and they're talking about A-Rod, and they're talking about, not Michael Jordan, that LeBron James going to Cleveland, and they're talking about the Kentucky Derby. I don't care about any of that. I want to hear about my Lord. This stupid newscast, and they're talking about what Putin's doing over there in Russia, and they're talking about Ahmadinejad and Assad over there in Syria. I don't care. I want to hear this news, the good news, amen? I want to hear what God is doing in the earth, not what these punks over there are doing. So Jerusalem will become the center of worldwide attention for the 1,000 years. I'm so glad of that. 14th, Jeremiah chapter 31 clearly proclaims Jerusalem's holiness and its indestructibility. Its indestructibility. Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 31. You're going to like this. And they're not going to need America's nukes to protect her either. Glory to God. Look with Jeremiah 31, verse 38. Don't miss this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. These days are coming, folks. That the city, what city?
Jerusalem.
The context is Jerusalem. The city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Haniel under the gate of the corner, and the measuring line shall go forth over against it upon the hill Gerib, and shall compass about to Goath, and the whole valley of the dead bodies. What dead bodies? Think. What dead bodies? He's setting up millennial Jerusalem, so whose dead bodies are they?
The unbelievers,
the armies of Antichrist, all that crowd that came against Jerusalem. And the whole valley of the dead bodies, and of the ashes, and all the fields unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever. Glory to God. He says Jerusalem is going to be perfect holiness to the Lord, and nobody is going to destroy it. You see that in verse 40? It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down anymore forever. Because he's looking past millennial Jerusalem to the eternal Jerusalem, which he will create in the new heavens and the new earth, which are not the same as the millennial heaven and the millennial earth. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a few weeks. But this clearly states that Jerusalem will be total holiness and totally indestructible. 15th, go to Jeremiah chapter 33. This chapter states clearly that the joy, the peace, and the glory of millennial Jerusalem will attract all Gentile nations of the earth to her. Look with me at Jeremiah 33. Look at verse number 9. And it shall be to me, Jerusalem, a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Jesus is going to bless millennial Jerusalem by his presence so much that the whole world will see it and recognize it. Amen? The whole world will acknowledge they are the seed that the Lord hath blessed. It's incredible. Verse 10. Here in verse 10, he says that it will never be desolate again. Look at it. Verse 10. Thus saith the Lord. Again, there shall be heard in this place, Jerusalem, which ye say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant and without beast. He says, you'll hear the voice of children, the voice of the bride and the bridegroom. It's going to be glorious. Verse 11 shows that marriage will flourish. Look at verse 11. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. There's a spiritual connection there to the bridegroom, the King of Kings, and his bride, which is the church. Amen. The voice of the bridegroom and the bride, glory to God. Okay, but it also speaks of human marriage during the millennium. Look at it. The voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith the Lord. He says, I'm going to bless Jerusalem like she's never been blessed in the history of the world. Wow, what a time it's going to be, folks. 16th, go to Joel. Flip ahead past Ezekiel and go to the little book of Joel, an incredible prophetic book. And the whole book of Joel speaks of the second advent and the millennium to follow it. Just after Hosea, you'll find the book of Joel. Joel, and go to chapter 3. In Joel chapter 3, the prophet states by the Holy Ghost that Messiah's presence in Jerusalem will make millennial Jerusalem holy. Did you hear what I said? You know why you are holy tonight? You are holy because you have the presence of the Lord in you. Okay? That's important. Religious people don't understand that. Religious people try to make themselves holy by doing good deeds, and it doesn't work. You need somebody else to make you holy. Look what he says in chapter 3 of Joel. Look with me at verse 17. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, that's Jerusalem, my holy mountain, that's millennial mountain of the Lord's house. Then shall, whenever this time period is, he says, then shall Jerusalem be, what? Be holy. It'll be holy. Why? There shall no strangers pass through her anymore. It will be holy because of the first part of the verse. My holy mountain, I am the Lord your God dwelling in Zion. Did you see it? His presence makes it holy, folks. And the whole world's going to know it. Glory to God. 17th tonight, go to the book of Micah. Flip forward. Past Jonah. Past Obadiah to Micah, chapter 4. This passage declares clearly that in Jerusalem, the Messiah will reign over the regathered, regenerated Israel. Look at it. In Micah, chapter 4, don't miss this. Look at verse number 6. Now, we have the first advent in the first few verses. Out of Bethlehem, Ephratah, shall he come to be governor of my people. Remember that first advent prophecy? That's the first coming. But look at verse 6. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble. There's a regathering taking place. Her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. Notice in verse 6, Israel is scattered. It's a diaspora, the dispersion. Worldwide diaspora. Notice who did it. Verse 6. Her that I have driven out, her that I have afflicted. When did he afflict her? It hasn't happened yet. But it's going to during the tribulation period. He's going to make Israel pass under the rod. And he's going to purge out the rebels. That's speaking about Jews who won't receive Messiah. Okay? And a whole bunch of them are going to die during the... I don't rejoice in that at all. In verse 7, and I will make her that halted a remnant. Notice the wording. And her that was cast far off a strong nation. They're regathered. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. God says, when I gather my elect nation together from the four ends of the earth, I am going to reign over them forever in Mount Zion. This looks forward to the eternal order, folks, past the millennium, which is only 1,000 years, okay? But clearly here in Micah chapter 4, look at verse 8. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Notice, somebody's getting a kingdom. Somebody is going to rule and reign in that kingdom for 1,000 years. Verse 8 says clearly, it's the daughter of Zion at Jerusalem. They are going to rule the world. You've got to see that clearly. In 18th tonight, go to the book of Zephaniah. Past Micah, past Nahum, past Habakkuk, to the little book of Zephaniah, chapter number 3. Here, the prophet states that the city, Jerusalem, will sing and rejoice. Look at it, verse 14. Verse 14, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Finally, the Jews are going to have something to rejoice and sing and shout over. Amen? Their king, their Messiah, sitting and reigning upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. That is something to sing about. Amen? What a time that'll be. Then, in verse 15, he shows us why they'll rejoice. Because the city is now redeemed. Look at it. Verse 15. The Lord had taken away thy judgments. Remember the tribulation period. They're being judged. He hath cast out thine enemy. Yeah, the Antichrist and all his evil host. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. Notice who the King of Israel is. Verse 15. The Lord. The Lord is the King of Israel. People don't like that. People say, oh, America is, we're the 10 lost tribes, British Israelites. Oh, really? Show me that in the Bible. Show me that you have Jewish blood. Because if you can't, the Bible issues a curse upon you. Them who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan, Revelation chapter 2. That's a dangerous thing to say you're a Jew when you're not a physical Jew. God does not like that at all. Okay? Now, in verse 16, he shows that Messiah will dwell there bodily. Look at it. Verse 16, in that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hand be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Wow. Get this, folks. The ethnically Jewish Messiah will be reigning over the ethnic redeemed Jews in Jerusalem. It says so right there in verse 17. And he will joy over them. Why? Because at this point, the Bible says all Israel shall know the Lord. No more need for Ariel ministries, Jewish evangelism. No more need for messianic congregations. Why? Because every Jew is saved. You don't have to go witnessing to Jews about their Messiah. They all know him at this point. What a blessing. 19th tonight. Go to Zechariah, past Haggai, to Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah speaks more about millennial Jerusalem than any other of the minor prophets. Not the major, but the minor ones. In Zechariah chapter 1, look with me at verse 14. Incredible stuff here. Verse 14. He declares here that Jerusalem is the city that he has chosen to dwell in. Listen, folks, he could have chosen Sydney, Australia. You know? He could have chosen Beijing. He could have chosen Boston, my hometown, but he didn't. I'm not mad about that. I'm glad for what he chose. You've got to be glad over what God's glad over. Look at verse 14. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. This is when the heathen, the Gentiles, are attacking the Jews during the tribulation. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am what?
Returned.
Remember the Shekinah glory of God left in Ezekiel chapter 11? It's still gone. He hasn't returned yet, folks. But it will. Glory to God. Look at it. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with something. Mercies. They are going to receive the mercy of forgiveness as you and I have. Why? They're going to cry out for it, the Bible says. He said, when I hear their cry unto me for mercy, then will I answer them. Then will I redeem them. Amen? That'll come at the end of the tribulation period. My house shall be built in it. In what? Jerusalem. Zion, saith the Lord of hosts. And a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts. My cities? That's Jewish cities. Israeli cities. Through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion. And shall yet choose Jerusalem. He says, look, I am going to choose to come down to planet Earth. And I am going to choose to set up my throne in Jerusalem, Israel. The same Israel that you see today. But it will be greatly renovated for the 1,000 years. That's what he said, folks. That's why I love Jerusalem. I'll tell you something. Hamas crossed a line this week. They crossed an irreversible line. They launched missiles, Katyusha rockets, into Jerusalem, the city of the great king. That crossed a line. And that's why the tanks are rolling right now. And Hamas is being annihilated by the IDF right now. Why? They crossed a line that you don't cross. You don't attack Jerusalem. Because it is God's city. Now, 20th, tonight. Almost done, almost done. Zechariah chapter 2. The angel here is told to measure millennial Jerusalem. Look at it. Verse number 1. I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. He's going to give the schematics of something special. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure what?
Jerusalem.
To see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. Listen, the prophet Zechariah sees in vision by the Holy Spirit millennial Jerusalem being measured by the angel. Okay? The angel is told to measure it. Then he reveals to him that the city needs no defense because Messiah will defend it. Look at verse 3. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him. And he said unto him, run, speak to this young man, that's Zechariah, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. Verse 4 says they don't need walls in Jerusalem. The gates will not be shut and padlocked. Why? Look at it. For thus saith the Lord, verse 5, I will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Listen, when you've got Jesus Christ dwelling in your home, you don't have to have a burglar alarm. You don't have to have a Glock 9mm. You don't have to have any defense whatsoever. You've got Jesus Christ, something much better. Amen? And this is how Jerusalem will be. They need no defense at this point. In verse 5, he reiterates the fact that the Shekinah glory will be present over the city. Look at it. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of what?
Fire.
Fire round about. And I will be the glory. That's the Shekinah glory, folks. It's coming off the Messiah. Oh, I love it. For wherever he is, the glory of God is present. Oh, praise the Lord. And finally, not quite finally, but almost, verse 10 affirms that God in Messiah will dwell in the city for the entire millennium. Look at it, verse 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I, time out, church. Who is speaking in verse 10? God. God is speaking in verse 10. And he's talking about coming to this planet to live here. You see it? Verse 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Don't you think Hooksett, New Hampshire would be singing and rejoicing tonight if they knew that Jesus was coming to town to set up his abode? Oh yeah, we would. Look at what he says. For lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Oh, wow. I love this. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, again, he states that millennial Jerusalem will be the center of worldwide Gentile attention. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day and shall be my people. He says, not only the Jews in Israel be my people, but many nations, many Gentiles will love me and serve me. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, Jerusalem, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts had sent me unto thee. Listen to me, folks. Verse 11 is critically important. Right now, the elect nation does not know that God the Father, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, sent his son to them. They don't believe that. But verse 11 says, in that day, they'll all believe it. You see that? They become true believers on Jesus Christ. Verse 12 declares that Messiah himself, from his throne in Jerusalem, will reign over all Israel. Verse 12, and the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion, in the holy mount, in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Now, verse 12, you have to understand, the inheritance of the Jews, they would inherit their land from their forefathers, from their parents. When their parents would die, they would inherit the land. What tribe of Israel was Jesus Christ born into? Begins with a J. Judah. Look at it. He is the rightful heir to the portion of Judah because he's the king of Judah. In verse 12, the Lord shall inherit Judah, his what?
Portion.
His portion. It's his portion as an ethnic Jew. He has a legal right to it, and he's going to take it. 21st tonight, Zechariah chapter 8 states that Messiah will desire to dwell in the city. Look at, we're almost done, I promise. Verse chapter 8, look at verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. He was jealous for her because she was occupied by a false Christ called Antichrist. In fact, he sat in the temple of God at Jerusalem declaring himself to be Jesus Christ. And this stupid world is going to believe it. How do I know that? Because the Bible says the majority of this world will take his mark and receive him as if he was Jesus Christ. Look at it. He states here that he desires to dwell in the city. Verse 3 reveals that the location of the city will be on top of the millennial mountain of the Lord's house. Look at verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion. Now, whoever this is speaking, he was there before in past history. Yeah, like 2,000 years ago, he walked the streets of Zion. Look at it. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Oh, there it is. The holy mount. The mountain of the Lord's house in Jerusalem shall be called what? The holy mountain. Why? Because of the holy king dwelling on top of it. Verse 4 and 5 reveals that people will be born in the millennium. Look at it. Verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. Yeah, like 700 years old, 800 years old, 900 years old. How do I know that? Because I know from the Bible that the world is going to revert back to pre-deluge days. The climate, the atmospheric heavens, everything will be perfect conditions for longevity of life. Verse 5, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. See that? Nobody is lobbing missiles at them anymore. I love it. Now, children, the young, will live hundreds of years, and the old will live centuries, as conditions will be perfect upon earth at that time. Verse 6 shows that only God could create such a glorious city. Look at verse 6, thus saith the Lord of hosts. If it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? The Lord says, I know what I'm going to do for you. Just trust me. It will come to pass. Verse 7, he gives us who it is that will occupy millennial Jerusalem. Look at it. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people, that's Jews, from the east country and from the west country. And I will bring them, the Jews, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. They'll be saved. They'll be born again. They'll love Jesus Christ with all their heart and soul like you do. Amen? Verse 20 clearly shows that all the world will come to this millennial Jerusalem to plead favor with the king. Look at it. Verse 20, thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Chicago. Is that what it says? Wrong version. In Jerusalem. And to pray before the Lord. He says the Lord is going to be bodily present and people are going to come from all over the world to pray to him and to seek his favor at Jerusalem. Glory to God. 22nd tonight, Zechariah chapter 14 states that Messiah will be king over all the earth, a true theocracy. Look at chapter 14, verse number 9. And the who? Lord shall be what? King over the suburbs. No. The Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day, there shall be one Lord and his name one. The whole world will know his name is not Allah. The whole world will know his name is not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Hare Krishna. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. The world will finally know that. Listen, he will be king over all the earth. Verse 10 depicts topographical alterations of the landscape, including the rising up of the millennial mount of the Lord's house. Look at it, verse 10. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananiel unto the king's wine press. He says, Jerusalem's going to be lifted up. It's going to be elevated geographically. Verse 11 proclaims total security throughout the 1,000 years. Look at it. And men shall dwell in it, Jerusalem, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Oh, this is so good. No terrorism, no enemies attacking Jerusalem like they are tonight. None of that going on. 23rd, and finally, I'm done. Finally, Zechariah chapter 14 states that the holiness of millennial Jerusalem will even extend to the very bells upon the horses and the pots and pans in the kitchens. Look at it. Verse number 20. in that day, whatever day this is talking about, we know it's the millennial day. There shall be upon the bells of the horses, look at it, an inscription, holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be what? Holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seed therein, and in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. He says it's all going to be glory and holiness forever. Wow. Now, why? Why is the holiness going to extend all the way to the cups and platters and bells of the horses? Why? Because of the Holy One of Israel dwelling in the midst of her. Amen. When you've got the Holy One of Israel dwelling with you, everything around him is holy. Listen, folks, our God makes whatever he touches holy. I am so glad of that tonight. He took that old scoundrel Bob Oliver on October 3rd in 1986 and made something out of my life. Something worth living. Amen? Why? Because anything he touches, he makes holy. Has he touched you, beloved? He's making you holy by his Holy Spirit. Beloved, the golden age of Jerusalem is yet to come. And mark it down, it will come. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for millennial Jerusalem. Lord, there is so much in the Bible concerning this great city of the great King. Lord, it's unmistakable. These prophecies and scripture that your Spirit has given us cannot be confused. Lord, I thank you that it's true tonight, that you're coming back to planet Earth, and you're going to sit upon the physical throne of David in Jerusalem, and you're going to rule this world in righteousness with a rod of iron. I am so glad tonight that we, as a church family here at KJV Bible Baptist Church, we know that. We know that, and we look forward to that. We glory in the fact that our King is coming back to redeem Israel and to save them from their sins, and to set up his glorious kingdom in Jerusalem, and to rule the world. And one last thing I want to say, Lord, in closing tonight, we are so thankful that we are not the elect nation. No, that's physical Jews. But we are the elect bride. You said there, O Lord, in Zephaniah, that the bridegroom and the bride will rejoice in Jerusalem. Oh, yeah, because every king needs a queen. And I'm so glad, Lord Jesus, tonight that we are your queen. We are your bride. We are your body. And we love you tonight like we've never loved you before. Lord, we feel it in the air. We feel it in our bones. The trumpet is about to blow. All of these prophecies are about to occur. And oh, we're so excited tonight that we're on the winning side because we've chosen the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior from sin. It is so good to be a Christian tonight. Lord, there's nothing like it in the universe. We love you and we thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, bring it to pass. Bring it to pass. Fulfill every word of prophecy that we've studied. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the people said, Amen. 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 Let's grab our hymnals, beloved, for a closing hymn tonight. And open, let's stand, and we'll open up to, oh, praise the Lord. Let's open up to 87. How we love this hymn. Speaking of the King, hymn 87 speaks clearly of our coming King. And we're going to sing all four to the King. Of him, 87. Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above.
and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose cannot be space. His chariots of wrath, body thunder clouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail.
Amen!
Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Amen. Praise the Lord tonight. We're going to have Brother Mike dismiss us in prayer. And don't forget, Mike, pray for the food we're about to receive and those who prepared it. Praise the Lord. We look forward to a great fellowship tonight. Brother Mike.
Lord, we thank you this day. Thank you, Lord, for the time that we've gathered together, Lord. We look forward to you just coming home, Lord, and taking us up, Lord. We just pray now to bless the fellowship that's about to begin and the food, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We just pray that you'd just encourage each one of us, Lord, and have mercy upon us all.
Amen. Praise the Lord.